Invite the grown-ups to be seated. I'm so glad to see all of you this morning and hope you're making plans to come to Vacation Bible School in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, good. I'm so glad. Yay. Sometimes I like to try to draw pictures of God, but that's really hard because there are a lot of different ways to draw God and to think about God. Sometimes I like to draw a heart. When I think about how much God loves us, sometimes I like to draw a picture of Jesus because Jesus showed us what God was like. Well, this morning, on the front of the bulletin, there's a picture that somebody painted years and years and years ago of God. And you might think, wait, that doesn't look like God, does it? Well, sometimes we pray to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We say all three of those things. Well, we understand God is all three of those things. And this is a painting this man made to try and show us that. And you know what's really cool? It's a little clearer on the bulletin. It kind of looks like they're having a party, doesn't it? They're sharing a meal, maybe a tea party or something. And then there's an open space right there. When you get back to your seats, I want you to really take a look at this morning. And that open space is for you. It's a party, and you're invited. So when you think about God, think about how much God loves you and how fun God is and how wonderful and joyful it is to be with God and how much God wants to be with you. Let's pray together. Gracious God, sometimes it's hard to understand or to draw pictures of you. But we thank you for reminding us that you love us so much, that you're all about love, and that you want to be in a loving relationship with us. You want us to join you in your love. And we thank you so much. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening, and you can go back and sit with parents or friends or grandparents. On Trinity Sunday, I found myself concerned more about the children's moment than about the sermon for the rest of us. Trinity is a hard thing for all of us to explain or to understand. I'll never forget when I was first in ministry, fresh out of seminary. My first appointment was as an associate pastor at Brentwood United Methodist. And I got invited by the first grade class to meet them in the sanctuary. They told me to wear my robe and my stole, and the teachers wanted me to talk with the children about the sanctuary and the pulpit and the lectern and the altar table. And so we did that. We gathered at the baptismal font, and we talked about water and baptism. And we went to the altar table, and we looked at the cup, and I told them that the plate has a special name. It's called a paten, and that's what we use to serve the holy meal of communion. And we had all this wonderful conversation. And then I sat down with them for the last 10 minutes or so and let them ask questions. And one little girl raised her hand and said, "What's that on your stole?" And I had this stole that had a symbol of the Trinity on it. And I said, "Well, that's a symbol of the Trinity." Blink, blink. "What's the Trinity?" And that used up the last 10 minutes. And I think I confused them and myself even more than when we started. The truth is, it is a hard doctrine of the church for us to understand. Not just as children, but as adults. What does it mean that God is three and God is also one? It can be so difficult to explain or talk about that it's easier sometimes just to let it be. Just to put that doctrine up on the shelf and let it gather dust. But every year, on the Sunday after Pentecost, the Christian calendar gives us this day, Trinity Sunday. And as the preacher this morning, I get to choose, am I going to talk about the Trinity, or am I just going to leave that up on the shelf and preach on something else? Well, I like a challenge and an opportunity to explore with you together this gift of the church, this doctrine, this teaching of the church, that God is Trinity. God is three in one. What does that mean? Does that have anything to offer us in our spiritual lives? Does it have anything to offer to our world as we are today? Well, I think it does. And so I want to invite you to join me in this exploration of this ancient and beautiful teaching of the church. We'll only get to look at one little angle of a multifaceted thing, but I hope it will shine some light for all of us on who God is. Much of our understanding of Trinity comes from the Gospel of John. You may know that the prologue of John's Gospel, the very first verse, opens up, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And that's how John introduces Jesus of Nazareth. That Jesus is the incarnation, the embodiment of God, who has been from the very beginning with God and has been God. So already John's gospel is sort of blowing our minds. And then we get to this section of John's gospel where we are this morning. Now, what's happening in the scene is that Jesus is sharing a last meal with his disciples. And he has washed their feet, and he has begun to teach them and talk to them. And this is his farewell speech, and it goes on for several chapters. And as part of that speech, he says to them that, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus refers to God the Creator throughout the gospel as his Father. "I and the Father are one. Abide in me as I abide in my Father, and my Father abides in me." And we're already seeing this oneness between Jesus and God the Creator, and also their uniqueness. And then we get to this part in chapter 16, where Jesus is telling his disciples he's getting ready to leave, that he must leave. He is going to die. But he reassures them, "Don't be afraid, because I will send to you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, that has been with God and has been God from the very beginning, but now is coming among the believers in a new way, to be within them and to guide them." And there are all these different verbs in this text of the many things the Spirit will do. Will remind them of what Jesus has taught them, will guide them, will glorify Jesus through them. And so in this one little text, we have the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. We have lots of different language, lots of different names for the Trinity. We, of course, want to be mindful that God is not masculine, and so we need other names besides Father. But the name Father is a gift to us because it points to that relationship, that very special relationship between a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, a parent and a child. This is the kind of love and relationship that exists within God. Sometimes we say Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. My personal favorite is one that St. Augustine offered to us centuries ago. God is the Lover, the Beloved, and the Love between them. Isn't that beautiful? The Lover, the Beloved, and the Love between them. Which really points me today to what I want to focus on in this gift of the Trinity. That what we have in God is a community of love. That within God, in God's very self, before anything else was created, there was relationship. There was love pouring from one to the other, being given, being received in mutuality and love. And we have this beautiful icon that we've put on the front of our bulletin this morning. It's painted by a Russian painter that portrays for us this Trinity. And you can see two of their heads are angled toward one. You can see the circle of love that's flowing back and forth between the three persons of the Trinity. So one of the things this offers to us is an invitation into that love. As I said to the children, at the table of these three, there's an open place, a place for you, that you and I are invited to abide in God. Abide as the Father abides in the Son, and the Spirit abides in them and abides in us. You're invited into that dance of love, just as you are. And not only that, but this image of God is a tremendous gift to our world, that God is known in community and in relationship. We live in a very individualistic world today, where people are focused on, if they have faith at all, it is kind of, you know, me and Jesus, or me and God, and my own personal growth. And I can follow God by myself. I can go out in my fishing boat and worship. And yes, you can. But God is best known in community, in relationship. And we cannot know love unless we practice the giving and receiving of love. And so offering to the world a witness of unity in diversity, of mutual love poured out and given and received, is a powerful witness in our very divided and individualistic world as it is today. What image do you hold of God? When you pray, does an image come to your mind of God? Maybe God as a heart beating, God as a river, God as wind. For many of us, perhaps, we have that image of God as a great king on a throne that we relate to but are a little bit scared of, who loves us but also judges us. And if that is our image of God, how does that affect our relationship with God, our ability to receive love from God? If that is our image of God, how does that affect how we live and act in the world? If we have that God on our side, are we then free to judge other people and look down on other people? Without letting go of some of those images of God, what if we were to hold this other image for a while? And next time we pray together to think about being at the table with a God who is already community, or praying as part of a dance of love with God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. And what if we were to go out into the world to proclaim a God who is gathered around a table in love, and at that table, there's always a place for one more. Amen.